So there's a two-page form sitting on your kitchen table. It says installment agreement across the top. It wants your bank routing number, and it wants a signature. And handing the IRS a direct line to the account your Social Security lands in feels like a terrible idea.
It feels like that, yeah. But that form, Form 433D, is actually the thing that turns a phone conversation into something binding. Right now, if all you've got is a verbal agreement with somebody at the IRS, you don't have protection. You have a conversation.
Wait, back up. Because I think people assume the form is them asking for a payment plan.
That's the single biggest mix-up. Asking is Form 9465. The 433D shows up after somebody at the IRS already said yes. So if it's in your hands, the hard part, approval, is behind you. Don't reopen it by mailing in a 9465.
Okay, so how does it usually land in someone's mailbox?
Four doors, basically. One, you set the plan up by phone with the automated collection system, and the agent mails it so you confirm in writing. Two, a revenue officer worked out terms with you and hands or mails it to you. Three, your balance is between $25,000 and $50,000, where a streamlined agreement generally requires direct debit or payroll deduction. And the 433D is where the bank info goes. Four, you're converting an old check payment plan over to direct debit.
And it's not one of those forms where they ask what you spend on groceries?
No. That's the part people brace for, and it isn't there. No expenses, no assets. If the IRS wants that, it sends a 433F or a 433A. Same number family, opposite jobs. Here's the tell. If they asked for a 433F, they're still evaluating you. If they sent a 433D, they've already decided.
Okay, that's a useful line. So what happens if it just sits there? Because that's what happens. People get overwhelmed and it sits.
The automated system eventually treats your account like no agreement exists, and it picks the collection sequence right back up. The proposed terms lapse. They're not held open forever, so you could be starting the approval over, maybe on different terms. Then CP501 and CP503 reminders restart. Then CP504, which is notice of intent to levy, at that point the IRS can take your state refund, and a notice of federal tax lien becomes a live possibility.
CP504. And then?
Then LT11, or Letter 1058, the final notice. That starts a 30-day clock, and after it runs, the IRS can levy bank accounts, and for retirees, take up to 15% of each Social Security payment through the Federal Payment Levy Program. An active agreement is precisely what keeps that off your check.
So the paperwork is the protection, not the phone call.
That's the whole thing in one sentence. And in 2026, with the IRS workforce down roughly 27%, the person you spoke to may never look at your file again. The automated escalation never stopped running, though. One more piece. If your 433D was converting an existing plan, not returning it can default that plan, which brings a CP523 and puts you back at square one.
All right. Let's say someone's going to fill it out tonight. Where do things actually go wrong?
Three blanks cause most of the processing delays. The tax period boxes, the bank numbers, and the signature line.
Tax periods, meaning the years.
Every year, that's part of the plan. A year left off is a year not protected by the agreement. Some of these fields arrive pre-filled by the IRS, and people assume pre-filled means correct. Verify it against your notice instead. Name, address, Social Security number, exactly as printed on the letter, or the agreement can post to the wrong account.
And bank numbers, transposed digits, I assume.
Number one, processing delay. Copy the routing and account numbers off the bottom of a check. Attach a voided check. Check it twice. And the signature. If the liability is joint, both spouses sign. One missing signature sends the whole form back. And interest doesn't pause while it's in the mail.
Say more about the payment date. That's the one I'd get wrong.
So if your Social Security deposit posts on the second Wednesday, Don't set the debit for the first of the month. Put it several days after your income reliably lands. A bounced direct debit isn't just a bank fee. It puts the agreement on the path to default. Same idea with those increase and decrease boxes on the form. Those are binding. Only fill them in if you actually agreed to a scheduled change.
Can we do the math example from the article? The $19,700 one?
Sure. Say you owe $19,700. You're retired on Social Security. Under $25,000, so streamlined rules. No financial statement, and direct debit is optional there, though it's the cheapest setup fee. The IRS generally wants a streamlined plan paid in full within 72 months. So $19,700 divided by 72 is roughly $274 a month.
$274, and that's the floor.
Roughly the lowest they typically take without asking for your financials, assuming your 10-year collection statute doesn't run out sooner. But interest keeps running on the shrinking balance, so the true payoff runs a bit past that raw division. Expect the final months to adjust, or pay a little over $274 to stay ahead of it.
Is there any break at all?
1. For returns that were filed on time, the failure to pay penalty drops from 0.5% to 0.25% per month while the agreement is in effect. Enforcement stops. The meter doesn't.
Okay, and the fine print you're signing. Because it's more than a monthly payment, right?
Right. You're agreeing to file every future return on time and pay every future year in full. A new balance next April defaults the agreement just as surely as a missed payment. That's the one retirees on pension or IRA income with no withholding trip over most. Refunds get applied to the balance while you owe, and the refund does not count as that month's payment. The setup fee gets added to the agreement. You'll provide updated financials if they ask. And a lien can still be filed in some cases. An agreement stops levies. It doesn't automatically stop a lien.
None of which is a reason not to sign.
No, those are the standard terms of every IRS installment agreement. It's a reason to sign a payment you can actually sustain and to fix your withholding now.
So who should just do this themselves?
Most people, honestly. If you agree with the balance, the payment fits comfortably, the tax periods are right, and you're under the $50,000 line, fill it in, sign it, send it. Paying someone to transcribe your routing number is money wasted. It's different if the proposed payment doesn't fit your real budget, or you've got unfiled years that'll default the plan the moment they're assessed, or a levy's already moving, or an LT11 clock is running, or you're above $50,000, or it's business or payroll tax.
Because those are financial analysis questions, not form questions.
Exactly. The difference between a sustainable plan, a partial pay arrangement, and currently not collectible status, that's analysis. And if $274 would genuinely crowd out food or medicine, don't sign a plan you'll default on. A lower payment is possible. It just requires the financial disclosure the streamlined route skips. Different balances, different rules, too. Under $10,000 with a clean filing history, the guaranteed installment agreement rules may come into play.
Where does the thing get mailed?
Whatever address or fax number is on the letter that came with it. There's no single national address for Form 433D. If a revenue officer has your case, back to that officer. Keep a full copy plus proof of mailing or the fax confirmation. A lost 433D means the agreement was never finalized on their side.
And keep paying while you wait?
Start paying the agreed amount on the chosen date, even before you get confirmation. Then watch the first one or two debits. If the money doesn't leave your account on schedule, don't celebrate. Call or check your online account. An agreement that never activated protects nothing.
So, next 24 hours. What are we doing?
Find three things on the paperwork: the monthly payment amount and date, the tax periods listed, and the return address or fax number on the IRS letter. Confirm all three match what you agreed to on the phone. Then gather a voided check, the notice, and your most recent filed return so the years line up.
And if something doesn't add up,
if the payment strains your budget, or a year's missing, or you're just not sure you should be on this plan at all, have the form and the notice reviewed before you sign. Clarity's enrolled agents will look at it at no cost. The number is 888-825-7779. Terms are far easier to fix before a signature than after.